For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for joining us. We love being here with you every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you the latest information related to health and wellness. Please remember that we have all of our previously recorded shows archived and available for you to listen to absolutely free at the Village Green website, which is www.myvillagegreen.com. It's a great resource for you to get a free education related to health and wellness. There's over 5 years of archive shows for you there. Today we're going to be talking about some principles around nutrition and around weight loss. So weight loss is always a huge issue for people. It's one of the most expensive, I guess there's the most amount of money spent on weight loss clinics, weight loss products than almost anything else in our country. We know we live in a country that has one of the highest rates of obesity, so people clearly are struggling with weight issues. Today I have a phenomenal special guest on the phone. If you've been a listener of the show, you've heard him before, Dr. Joseph Lamb. I'll read his bio in a minute. He's going to give us a wealth of information and help us understand some key principles around weight loss and help us understand what our body needs in order to lose weight. This is not about just dieting. This is not about cutting calories. This is about fundamentally understanding how our body interfaces with calories, with hormones, with certain types of food, and how that, in the end, dictates what the scale looks like. So there's many, many different factors, and the more we learn about our bodies, and the more we learn about specifically our hormones, the more we understand the complexities of weight loss, and the more these older views on weight loss are becoming obsolete. Things like calories in versus calories out. There's more to it when it comes to weight loss than just that. And I think what Dr. Lamb is going to share with us and what I've seen clinically is this really does come down to a lot of hormone signaling in the body that truly dictates what's going to happen with our weight. And we're going to teach you how to sort of manipulate or eat in a way and have a lifestyle that encourages the right balance of hormones so your body doesn't have the cues to actually store weight. So without further ado, Dr. Joseph Lamb is a board certified both in internal medicine and holistic medicine. Until May 2000, he was right here in our backyard as the president of the Integrative Medicine Works Clinic in Alexandria, Virginia. He now works for one of the most prestigious nutraceutical industries in the world, Metagenics. Dr. Lamb works in partnership with his patients to create optimal health and well-being by using functional medical approaches including lifestyle modification, herbal and nutritional therapies, and cognitive therapy. Dr. Lamb completed his graduate education at the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond and his residency at Presbyterian University of Pennsylvania Medical Center in Philadelphia. He is an assistant clinical professor of medicine at George Washington University School of Medicine. Dr. Lamb, a native Alexandrian, was active in his community until moving to Gig Harbor, Washington. He is the past president of the St. Stephen's and St. Agnes Alumni Association. He is the president of the Commonwealth Consultants Foundation, a local charity chartered to provide unique educational and social experiences for economically deserving children and young adults. So, Dr. Lamb, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Passero. It's great to be on the call with you again. So, you've brought up some really great points in the introduction to this theme, and I think, you know, the basic take-home is you're exactly right. How we process our calories isn't always equal. It's true that a calorie equals a calorie, but the messages that they bring and the messages that they come with tell our bodies what to do with processing the information. You know, for a lot of medical education history in the last century, you know, certainly when I was in school, there was kind of the belief that when a human was born, when a human was conceived, the DNA started running, and a computer program kicked in, and basically we were in a run forward from that point, and it was pretty much predisposed to what was in your genes. Yes, you could get an infectious disease from the outside. Yes, you could be in a motor vehicle accident. Yes, you could have some other sort of life event. But pretty much your genes told you what you were going to be when you grew up, whether you were going to be normal weight, overweight, whether you were going to be an athlete, whether you were going to be more suited for a desk job, kind of those sorts of predispositions, whether you're going to live a long time, whether you're going to get diabetes, whether you're going to get heart disease. And the presumption was that, most inputs in terms of environmental inputs weren't going to make a whole lot of difference there. And, we were really surprised by what we found during the Human Genome Project, the decoding of human DNA and looking at them at which genes are present. And where we really got surprised is we have a lot fewer genes coding for proteins and coding for enzymes than we expected, about actually one-tenth of what we expected, about 25,000 to 30,000 genes, depending on the estimate. And when you look at those genes, and you look at that sheer number, you find out that our complexity is not really all that much greater than a carrot or a fruit fly. But where we have the complexity is that each of those genes, instead of simply having a dominant and recessive, kind of a gene that calls for good function and a gene that calls for less than good function, we find that there's many variants at these places. They're called SNPs, or the medical term is single nucleotide polymorphism, which means, just a little change in the code led to a little change in the structure of the gene. But those little changes in the structure of the gene lead to big changes in the structures of the proteins that they code for, and lead to big changes in how those proteins function, whether it's a structural protein or, a building block for building up like the cell wall or building up some component of our body, building up our muscle, or, how we put together our nervous system, or more how our enzyme systems work, how the factory works that produces our energy or turns on our immune and inflammatory systems. So a lot of individuality there. And that individuality really creates what's been talked about for a long time, our biochemical individuality. All of us are different. We all have different nutritional needs. And in those different nutritional needs, the amount of nutrition that you come in, therefore, becomes like a message to the body. So if you're someone who has the what we call wild type, or kind of the preferred gene for metabolizing folic acid, the amount of folic acid that you get in the diet is adequate, and that sends a measure and a message of sufficiency. There's enough for you to do what you need to do to have your body work well. But on the other hand, if you're someone who has the SNP, one that's common among women in our population, may be as much as 20 to 25% of the women have a SNP of their gene called it's the 5-methyltetrahydrofolate reductase, kind of a long, complicated name. But what it basically means is they need a lot more folic acid, and they may need some of the more natural forms of folic acid to have the same effect. If they eat a diet that's, maybe meets RDA requirements, kind of meets the standard food pyramid requirements, they're still getting messages that there's not enough. Their body knows there's not enough for optimal function. So what this all translates into is that depending on our food choices, depending on, how much sunlight we get when we start talking about vitamin D, depending on the phytonutrients, the phytochemicals that are in the plants and whether or not we get those, when you look at all of those components, what you suddenly have is we're sending messages every day. And if our body is getting the appropriate messages and getting the appropriate nutrients that it needs, then it operates pretty effectively. But if we don't get the right messages, or we get threatening messages from the environment, or we're creating our own threatening messages because we're dealing with stress all day long and we've bumped our cortisol level up to help us cope with stress, those messages are alarm messages. And when we get those alarm messages, we choose to handle our metabolisms differently. And in doing so, we handle how we deal with calories differently. If your body senses that today's a bad day, well, it's worried that tomorrow's going to be even worse. And if tomorrow's going to be worse, then the worst thing that can probably happen to you is that you're not going to have enough energy to spend tomorrow. So what you do today, instead of spending energy today on exercise or activity, you decrease your metabolic rate, you kind of hunker down, and you store some fat away, and you store it away for tomorrow. And the great tragedy that we're experiencing over the last 30 years as obesity has become epidemic is we have a perfect storm of messages that all say, hunker down, store fat. Tomorrow's going to be worse than it was today, because today you didn't get any good messages, and I'm worried that tomorrow you're not going to get any either. And in doing so, what we've essentially created is a group of people who are becoming kind of metabolic challenged. And as such, we handle our calories differently. And that's what's contributed to where we are.
It's a very interesting discussion, Dr. Lamb, one that we have had before and is one of the most exciting things that I see coming out through medicine right now, because it challenges these preconceived notions of what we always thought. You know, I think this may be quoting you, or I can't remember where I heard this, but basically, you know, we can define health as the favorable expression of our genetic code and disease as the unfavorable expression of our genetic code. And what we've discussed before and what we're learning is that the expression of our genetic code is not just locked in based on what, you know, was decided in utero. What we find is that only about 20%, it's estimated now, of our health is a reflection of our health is just based on genetic code, and 80% is based on lifestyle factors, diet, nutrition, toxicity exposure, and how those environmental factors affect the expression of the genetic code. Is that correct?
That is correct. And you know, that basically comes out of those estimates come out of some of the twin studies, where they look at twins who were separated at birth, and they say, okay, here's a twin. They were, this is one's health outcome. And then here's the other twin, and here's the other health outcome. How variable are they compared to twins that grew up in the same environment together? Hmm. And that's where they can make some of those estimates from. And you're exactly right. And, you know, one of the most important messages that we send is vitamin D. You know, are we getting enough vitamin D to send the right message? You know, if you think about it, vitamin D is directly tied to sunlight, and it would have been a message to our body when we lived a more hunter-gatherer lifestyle, when we lived more of a farmer lifestyle, when we lived any lifestyle where we were tied to the cycles of the earth. It would have been a message, well, it's springtime. Vitamin D levels are going up. It's okay to spend a little bit more energy. You're not hunkered down in a cave. You're not, you know, spending all night in a cold, kind of dark, close room where you really need your immune system turned on. So when they turn that down, we want you to have a longer day. We want you to burn energy longer during the day because there's a longer photocycle. All those messages, how vitamin D affects the immune system, affects the thyroid, affects, you know, building of the bone, affects insulin sensitivity, all of those pieces coming together played a really, really important piece. And the piece that they played so dramatically was one of helping us cope. Mm-hmm. But now what we have is, instead of living a life tied to the seasons, we live a life throughout the year that's like a summer existence. We have long days. We stay up late. You know, we are able to do so because of artificial light. You know, it's not like it's dark at, you know, 5 o'clock in the winter in where we're living, because we turn on the lights and the lights can stay on all night long. So we have, even during the winter, we have summer existences, but the messages we send are winter messages because
right.
we don't have enough vitamin D for our bodies. And that's the basic conflict.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, it took our bodies hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years to evolve or to get to the point where we are right now physiologically, and it's really only been in the last, you know, 1,000 years that we've dramatically changed, even left the exact way that we lived and the way that our bodies lived in during that time of evolution. So we're still, I guess, now adapting to a new style, and our bodies haven't gotten there yet. Maybe in another 3,000 years we will, but in the short term, we've got to understand those concepts and pay attention to them. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Lam, I want to talk hormones because, as I alluded to and as you've alluded to, there's probably no other single thing more important, in my opinion, when it comes to managing weight than hormones. And it's not an issue that people hear all that much about. So when we come back from the break, we're going to pick up this conversation regarding weight loss. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living. We're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Old Man Winter is on the way, but you can weather the storm by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. Now through the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Stock up on supplements to fight colds and flu, and pick up some healthy living gifts for your friends and family, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or online at myvillagegreen.com, or call us at 301-530-0800. Our big year-end sale will blow you away.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season. It is now time to talk about weight loss, which is on everybody's mind after the holiday season. It is time for the new year. It's time to shed the weight, turn over a new leaf, renew your gym membership, start a new diet. This is the time when we re-energize and reinvigorate about ourselves, and so there's no better time to have the conversation we're having today with my wonderful special guest, Dr. Joseph Lam. He is a medical doctor, board certified in both internal medicine and holistic medicine, practiced medicine here in the Northern Virginia area for many years, and now is living in Washington State, working with one of the most prestigious nutraceutical companies internationally, Metagenics. And Dr. Lam, we talked about some really interesting concepts around health and human health in the last segment. In this segment, I want to get down to some of the nitty-gritty issues around weight loss. And when we talk about that, we're going to discuss, as I alluded to, hormones, because people talk about, you know, there's calorie counting, there's all these different dietary programs that all rely on this concept of calorie counting. How many calories am I eating per the day? What's my portion control like? And what I have found is, although they work, they're not always sustainable, because as soon as you go back to normal calorie consumption, the weight comes back on. Whereas if we craft a diet and understand more about how the foods influence our hormones, and also look at the general hormone milieu of an individual and correct hormone deficiencies or imbalances, when we approach it that way, it becomes much more sustainable, because we're not talking about a type of diet. We're talking about a difference in a lifestyle behavior. So people are able to eat abundant amounts of good-tasting, nutritious, healthy foods and still lose weight. In fact, they may be on a more calorie-dense diet than they were before and losing weight, because we're paying attention to this aspect of hormones. So please, this is a long, lengthy, but very interesting discussion. Can you kick us off with some of these hormonal issues that relate directly to our body's ability to run metabolism and lose weight?
Absolutely. And I think one of the important things that you said, Dr. Passero, in there was that, you know, calorie counting. You know, can we lose weight by counting calories? Can we lose weight by adopting a short-term change? And when we do so, and, you know, the Gallup poll, there's an interesting Gallup poll. They asked people basically how many times they had attempted to lose weight. And in 1990, the number of Americans who said they had attempted to lose weight more than 10 times was 5%. And by 2005, that number had doubled to 11%. So 1 in 9 Americans in 2005 had tried to lose weight more than 10 times in their lifetime. What that speaks to is a very crucial piece. You can get people to lose weight, but they don't maintain it. And so the question comes up of, why don't we maintain it? And it goes back to a very fundamental thing that you said. Our bodies don't put on weight because they're trying to hurt themselves. You know, if I wake up today and I eat appropriately or inappropriately, and, you know, and or functionally and non-functionally, as opposed to good or bad, and I think that's really an important distinction, and we'll come back to that distinction. But whatever I eat today, if my body chooses to store some of those calories and stores it as fat, and if the long-term consequence over the course of the year is that I gain 5 or 10 pounds, my body didn't attempt to do it because it was trying to hurt me. My body was trying to do the best it could in the situation of where it was. And that's a really, really, really important piece. And in that important piece of trying to keep things where we were and trying to keep things moving along, our bodies defend what they've attempted to do. So if we simply count calories and, you know, eat a small number of the wrong type of calories, our bodies may still be getting all of those alarm messages. They may be getting all the messages that say, do your best to hold on to your weight. And though we may overcome that in the short term, because I may be able to do something like, say, 800 calories a day or 600 calories a day, and that's absolutely not enough for my body in any circumstances to defend its weight or to gain weight, so I lose some. And then a couple months later, after I've lost 10 or 15 pounds, or maybe in a couple weeks when things have really gone astray, and, you know, my body's sitting here going, well, I had been this weight, and now I've lost all this weight because of the starvation phase, and all these alarm messages, the immediate consequence is the body doesn't necessarily think that that weight loss, which you and I may recognize as being healthy, the body may not recognize that as healthy, and the counter-regulatory mechanisms come in. And indeed, even with healthy programs, when people have lost about 10% of their total body weight, counter-regulatory programs come in. And when they do so, they send messages that we need to put weight back on. And that's why a lot of people do that. So what sort of messages are these? You know, you've made the connection to these in what you've already said. A lot of these messages are hormonal. And insulin is one of the key messages. And insulin is, as many people know, the hormone that plays a big role in controlling blood sugar. If we don't have enough of it and our pancreases stop producing it, that's what we call type 1 diabetes, or what we used to call childhood diabetes. It was an immune response where the pancreas suffered an injury, frequently an inflammatory autoimmune response where we attacked our own pancreas for reasons that we don't completely understand, but we're getting better ideas of these days. And the consequence was the cells, the beta cells that make insulin, don't make enough. And so then we end up with a high blood sugar. What we used to call type 2 diabetes, adult onset diabetes, well, what we call type 2 now because we no longer call it adult, and we don't call it adult because now it's even happening to children and teenagers, is that there is such an excess of either calories from sugar or from fat or bad environmental messages that our beta cells actually produce too much insulin because our peripheral cells have chosen not to listen to the insulin. So we get a high insulin level. Trying to convince the cells, the muscle cells, the liver cells, to burn some of that excess of calories. And those cells get tired of listening to the message. They're working as hard as they can. But the fat cells don't become insulin resistant, and they get that message from insulin to take in extra energy, and they do so. And when they take in that extra energy, what they're basically trying to do is they store it. And when they store that extra energy, they store that fat away. And as they store that fat, it puts us in a position where our fat cells keep eating and eating and eating, and they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know if you're a Monty Python fan, but they have the one thin mint, the one thin after-dinner chocolate mint skit from years ago, and the person's just eating the big meal, and at the completion of eating the big meal, they're convinced to eat one more thin mint, and they eat the thin mint, and they completely explode. You know, you see this big explosion on the screen because they had eaten too much. Well, that's our fat cells. And when our fat cells do that, as a consequence of being sensitive to the insulin levels, and the insulin levels are high either because of environmental toxicity or because we've gotten too much sugar, too much fat in, the fat cell explodes. And when it does, it creates all around it other fat cells that are angry. They don't like what's become of their neighborhood. And all sorts of messages are sent back and forth, cell-to-cell messages called cytokines. They're like hormones that communicate from cell to cell. And they're pro-inflammatory messages, and the whole neighborhood gets riled up. The whole population of fat cells gets riled up, and they send out messages to the whole body. And these messages say, we're in trouble. This is not good. And it actually worsens the insulin sensitivity of the other cells, like the muscle cells and the liver cells. They start going, oh, wow, look what's happening over there. I really don't want to listen to insulin. And they become even more insulin resistant. So we end up in a picture where, depending on which messages we send in, insulin plays a role in preparing us for the scary day when we get too much and when we get too much energy. Mm-hmm. And even when we downregulate how many calories we take in, our body still secretes hormones. Like it secretes, if it thinks we're under stress, it secretes cortisol. And cortisol raises insulin levels because the concept is, let's get some energy to the places where we need it so we can be prepared. And that's the dangerous piece.
Yeah, those are some very important hormones to consider when thinking about weight loss. When we come back from the break, Dr. Lamb, I'd like you to cover some of the other important hormonal issues that are involved when it comes to weight loss. And then, of course, I want to talk about how do we fix this? What kind of nutrient and food intake do we need to have to work on balancing insulin, to balance our cortisol levels, and to keep our other hormone levels in check, and to make sure that our body gets the signals it needs to decide to dump fat instead of store calories as fat. So when we come back, we're going to be picking up the hormone conversation and then subsequently discussing how to start losing weight. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Put a little more jingle in your pocket by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. From now until the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Give the gift of good health to the people you care about and stock up on healthy living essentials for yourself, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or on the web at myvillagegreen.com. Or just give us a jingle at 301-530-0800.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, hoping you all had a wonderful holiday season and are back now, and we are timely discussing weight loss, as this is a very popular time for people to be interested in starting to lose weight. In the last segment, we started this discussion of hormones and how hormones are involved in weight loss and weight gain. Dr. Lamb also touched on some of these issues that arise with excess weight and obesity, inflammation. He discussed this fact that as our fat cells start to become insulin resistant, as they start to get very large, they start to release cytokines, which are these chemical messengers in our body that create major amounts of inflammation. And being overweight, even not even being obese, just having a BMI with a certain percentage past where it should be, as you start to gain weight, you start to increase your body's inflammation. And that's one of the reasons why being overweight is so closely correlated with some very, very devastating conditions like heart disease and cancer and other types of chronic conditions that are directly related to obesity and directly related to insulin resistance and inflammation. This is a big deal, folks. Inflammation is probably one of the biggest culprits contributing to the top conditions that are killing Americans today. And everybody is wondering, how do we get inflammation levels down? One of the best ways and the most important way to get inflammation levels down is to reduce your storage of, to reduce your fat cells and reduce the chemical signaling of these cytokines, get the insulin levels under control, lose weight, give the body the cues it needs to understand that I'm in a healthy state, not in an unhealthy state. Because as Dr. Lam alluded to, the release of these cytokines and inflammatory markers are simply the body's way of trying to defend itself when it perceives that it's in trouble. So if we can put the body in a state where it's not perceiving we're in trouble, these inflammatory cytokines settle down and our body can re-equilibrate to a state of health. Now, in this segment, Dr. Lam, I would love for you to discuss some of the other key important hormones that are necessary to consider when thinking about weight loss.
Absolutely. And why don't we start with thyroid first? Thyroid's a really interesting one, and, you know, it receives lots of attention, and there's been an awful lot in the press about thyroid hormone and thyroid hormone resistance. And, you know, you go to websites, you do a Google search on thyroid, and you see a lot of conflict because there really is a question. Is there thyroid hormone resistance? Is it similar or analogous to the situation with diabetes? You know, in diabetes, we don't measure a hormone level to decide if you have diabetes. We don't measure an insulin level because that's not really going to tell you if you have diabetes. It may help you know if you don't have any insulin that you have type 1 diabetes, but, you know, in type 2, you actually have a normal insulin level or a high insulin level, and the cells don't listen. People have made that same sort of analogy for thyroid, but really in the connection that we're talking about here, one of the things that happens is when your thyroid gland makes thyroid hormone, it makes one called T4. And for that T4 to actually get to the cells, the target cells, and carry the message that it's carrying, it needs a lot of nutritional cofactors along the way. It needs a trace mineral called selenium. It's going to need enough vitamin D. It's going to need enough vitamin A. It's going to need enough omega-3 fatty acids, so you need the right balance of fish oils. It's going to actually need zinc. It's going to need carnosolic acid that comes from rosemary. All of these things are necessary. And when we eat diets that are deficient, and, you know, the average American doesn't get enough selenium. The average American doesn't get enough zinc. The average American doesn't get enough vitamin D. When you have diets that do all of those things poorly, even if we make the right amount of hormone, we can't send the message. And thyroid hormone is so important because it sets the basic metabolic rate. It's like the idle setting on an engine. You know, most of us aren't familiar with idle settings on engines anymore because cars don't have them. But they used to, and you could adjust your own idle using the choke. Like if it was a cold morning, you let the engine run a little faster until it warmed up. If it was a regular day, you didn't accelerate your choke. You just kept it at a certain place and let the car run. We no longer adjust that, but our bodies does every day. So if there's thyroid dysfunction, if there are other reasons why the thyroid's out of whack because of toxicity or because of autoimmune thyroiditis, any of those features can throw off the basic decision that the body's going to make about how much energy to burn today, how fast to run the body. And then another really interesting hormone to consider is what happens with menopause. You know, menopause initially is falling progesterone levels and widely fluctuating estrogen levels as the estrogen levels over time get consistently lower and lower and lower. But what else do you see if you're like looking at some of those cytokines, some of the same ones that you look at for inflammation? One of the things you notice is as estrogen levels drop, IL-6, a cytokine that's an inflammatory cytokine, it goes up fairly dramatically. And when it does so, it's sending inflammatory messages. It may be part of what goes on the postmenopausal weight gain or the perimenopausal weight gain that so many women see. It's because their whole crosstalk between, you know, the hormones, you know, the sex hormones, you know, progesterone and estrogen, between thyroid, between cortisol, between insulin, and all the inflammatory messages, that crosstalk has changed. And when it does so, we end up with untoward consequences because our body perceives a state of alarm.
Yeah, those are all very, very important topics. So we talked about thyroid, we talked about estrogen. These are the key. We talked about insulin, and we talked about cortisol. Those are really some of the four most core hormones that we need to discuss when it comes to weight loss and when it comes to weight gain. Now, in the next segment, we're going to take our break a little bit early because the next segment is really where we get to the meat of this, where Dr. Lamb's going to help us understand what type of foods we need to eat and the general concepts around nutrition that actually help our bodies to balance these hormones, that helps our gives our body the necessary cues it needs in order to lose weight instead of gain weight. Because as we're going to discuss, different foods have different signals to our body. Different foods give our body different messages. And it's those messages that that food gives us that determines what our body is going to do. And that is a huge factor when it comes to whether or not the signal from that or message from that food is going to trigger our body to store energy as fat, or to burn the energy and to actually burn fat. So when we come back, we're going to be teaching you the concepts around diet that relate exactly to that. This is probably the most important education you could ever get when it comes to understanding weight loss and the key factors necessary in order to do it healthily so that you can have long-term beneficial effects. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Pesero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at Acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalardi from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Thank you to you all for joining us today. Very excited to have you with us, as always. Very much appreciate the opportunity to be here on the airwaves sharing information with you related to health and wellness. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. And remember, you can download our shows for free by going to the Village Green website, which is www.myvillagegreen.com. They're there for you absolutely free. They're archived all the way through the 5 years of shows that we've been doing, which is great. It's a wonderful resource. Today we've been talking with Dr. Joseph Lamb and discussing with him some of the aspects around weight loss. In the last segment, we covered some of the finishing aspects related to hormones. And in this segment, we're really going to talk nuts and bolts of nutrition and what you should actually be doing in order to lose weight. And again, you know, I just want to make a caveat. It is important to work with, if you're, these concepts are important to you, to work with a doctor that truly understands them. If you're looking for weight management and weight help with weight loss, you really want to be at a doctor who's going to do a very thorough evaluation of your thyroid, not just the standard tests that really are just screening test, but really look at a thorough evaluation, particularly if you're a woman and you're starting that perimenopausal time period and having trouble with weight. That's a very common time for thyroid issues to crop up. Making sure they're checking your vitamin D levels, because as we talked about, that's an important hormone. Maybe working with a doctor who knows how to do a proper cortisol evaluation to look at what's going on with your stress hormones. Somebody who can do a good, thorough intake and evaluation of your sleep to make sure that you're resting appropriately. To look at your hormone balance and see if there's any things going on with estrogen dominance or some hormone imbalances. It's really a great idea to work with somebody who knows what they're doing. We have plenty of those people at the Village Green and all around this area. So just a little caveat there, because it's not always just about diet and nutrition. Some people need to understand and have these other issues corrected, and then the diet and nutrition piece of it is the piece that puts all the whole puzzle together. So Dr. Lamb, let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts of nutrition here, and talk to us about some of the key concepts that you see that are important when it comes to helping people lose weight without this idea of counting calories.
Absolutely. So one of the things that's very clear is when it comes to calories is what kind of calories are you talking about? So when you're, from that perspective, you're talking about macronutrients. You know, that's what we call a calorie. So you're talking fat, we're talking protein, we're talking carbohydrates, and the subcategory of carbohydrates are simple sugars. So all of those things, you need some of. So you need, and also you need fiber as part of all of this as well. Fiber not really being a source of calories, but it is one of the macronutrients. When you look at all of these, you say to yourself, gee, I'd rather eat the good ones than eat the bad ones. And one of the things we find is that when you look at diets and you compare diets, a lot of the discussion is, oh, I eat a high-fat diet, or, oh, I eat a low-fat diet, or I eat a low-carb diet, or whatever it may be. Frequently, they don't take into account the good versus the bad. And that's why on a lot of these studies, you find confounding results. And you find, you know, like some researcher says a low-carbohydrate diet's the best. And then you find another researcher who says, no. Low-carbohydrate's not good. Low-fat's good. And yet they both have evidence that kind of proves it. And when you look at it, they have some evidence that's better, some that's worse. And probably one of the confounding factors amongst all of this is we're not looking at the other components. We're not looking at, did we get good fats? Did we get omega-3 fatty acids, which send anti-inflammatory messages, versus getting saturated fats or trans fats? We're not looking at where our carbohydrates are. Eat French fried potatoes for our vegetable that day, so we get some bad fats and we get potatoes and we don't get a lot of phytonutrients? Or did we eat like 5 ounces of lettuce and we got a lot less calories, but we got all this fiber and we got all these phytonutrients? And phytonutrients, really, they're the missing piece. You know, if you look at nutritional history, if you look at kind of the evolution of thought about nutrition over the last couple hundred years, the very first discussions were about the necessity to have protein, the necessity to have carbohydrates, the necessity to have fat, and the identification that there were some things that were essential that we couldn't make on our own, so you had to get them from the diet. And then, you know, starting at the beginning of the last century, the recognition that without certain B vitamins, you know, that you could get beriberi or pellagra. And then without vitamin C, you know, in the 1800s and into the 1900s, oh my goodness, you're going to get scurvy. All of these things, and we start recognizing that there were trace elements, the trace elements we talked about, like selenium, zinc, and the others that are all important, like chromium for insulin signaling. That is all commonly accepted right now, and I think the general consensus among most people is that the diet needs to be balanced. You need to eat the good things, and you need to eat, you know, and there's probably value in taking a good quality multivitamin each day. And I think most clinicians would agree with that. I'd say you have to do a lot more than just one simple little multivitamin each day to make up for the fact that the average American doesn't eat a very good diet. We just did a weight loss study, and amazingly enough, we saw a young woman who had never eaten a vegetable in her life. Had never eaten a vegetable since the time she was a child. You know, basically since the time she started being able to refuse and her parents didn't fight with her about it, not one vegetable other than potatoes or rice. And, I mean, that's really, really, really scary. And but that's what we're facing. And in those plant foods are all these little information molecules. You know, just like we talked about vitamin D sending the right message, like it's springtime. Well, the greens that pop up in the spring send messages that tell us, hey, it's time to start spending energy. You're getting greens. We used to get our sugars from berries and fruit and sometimes from honey, but not from other sources. And then later in the summer, when we needed to start preparing for the winter and hunkering down, that was when the root vegetables came, the potatoes, the corns, the beets, you know, those sorts of vegetables, a little bit more dense, the squashes, a little bit more dense in carbohydrates, a little bit more energy to store away. But even so, back then, those plant cultivars were so different from what we have now. They didn't lend themselves to excess. If you dropped a potato on your foot 200 years ago, you wouldn't break your foot, for example. So the key that we've left out of our diet is to get an adequate amount of plant nutrients. So respecting our Paleolithic roots, respecting the need for good versus bad, we've done some work here at Metagenics over the last 66 weeks. We just completed, just before Thanksgiving, a 66-week-long trial looking at rapid weight loss and then followed by a maintenance phase. And I really just want to share with you the diet for our rapid weight loss phase. It was actually quite a healthy diet. People ate palm-sized portions of lean protein, so they could have, you know, lean beef, they could have chicken or poultry, they could have seafood, they could have wild game, you could have eggs, you could have a handful of nuts, you could have soy, all of these as protein sources. And basically each meal consisted of a palm-sized portion. And then in addition, you accompanied it by 3 servings of vegetables. But vegetables didn't include corn, they didn't include squash, they didn't include beets, they didn't include potatoes. All of those were excluded. When we were talking vegetables, we were talking things like green beans. We were talking broccoli. We were talking radishes. We were talking cauliflower, you know, Brussels sprouts, peas, the whole combination. And additionally, people had 2 of those meals a day. And then for a snack, they got like a palm-sized portion of protein. So maybe they had 1 egg instead of 2 eggs. Maybe they had half a handful of nuts. Maybe they had a little bit of broiled chicken left over from the dinner the night before. Maybe they took a nutritional shake that was high in protein. And then each day, they also ate a 5-ounce portion of greens. And this would be one of my simplest little take-homes for anybody. Like, if I had to say, you know, how do you improve the quality of your life? And someone said to me, Dr. Lamb, what would be 3 simple tips? One simple tip would be eat 5 ounces of greens, whether it's spinach, whether it's kale, whether it's romaine, even if it's iceberg, whatever it is, 5 ounces of greens a day. My other tip would be to try to take 20 minutes of aerobic exercise a day. And the final tip would be to really think about getting healthy oils and making sure you get enough vitamin D. But as part of this dietary program, we made sure people got 5 ounces a day of the greens. And the healthy oils for the average individual on the trial were 5 to 6 teaspoonfuls of, like, olive oil, or the equivalent is food. It was even better if they ate it as olives, or if they had some avocado, or if they had coconut milk. You know, these sources of nice, healthy fats, omega-3 fatty acids, getting some of their fats from nuts, getting some of it from the fish they were eating, all sending the right messages all together. So, you know, on any given day, people on the trial were basically eating 3 palm-sized portions of protein, 3 cups of vegetables. Doesn't sound like a lot until you start actually scooping it onto your plate. 5 ounces of the leafy greens, and then 5 to 6 teaspoons of oil, which could be avocado or olives or just the oil itself as a condiment on your food or in the preparation of your food. And then there were lots of spices, because spices are full of phytonutrients themselves, and they carry all sorts of messages, like the rosemary we were talking about, and other plants provide carnosolic acid, which you need for thyroid function. So all of that really creates a menu plan that's quite sufficient. You know, you may say, gee, is that very many calories? Well, it wasn't a ton. It was about 1,000 calories for the average person who participated in the study. And then when they added the nutritional supplement, the high-protein nutritional supplement, they got to about 1,200 calories a day. And during the course of 12 weeks, the average person who was on that dietary program, we started with 130 people and 100 finished the 12-week study. The average weight loss for the 100 who completed was 11.2% of their total body weight. And, you know, they were also taking some vitamin D. They were taking a multivitamin. They were taking a probiotic. They were taking a fish oil. And they were taking a fiber supplement, doing other things to help make sure that, you know, they fill in all the nutritional gaps. But, you know, you would sit here and say, gee, you must have heard complaints from people. They must have hated that diet. They actually loved the diet, because what they found was they felt better, their energy levels increased, they were losing weight, and they were, more importantly, not hungry. It's the kind of diet, because it's, you know, it kicks in some of the body's natural defenses about burning fat when it needs more energy. It was leading them to not be very hungry. So there are approaches that can make a big difference. And that sort of diet blends well with our evolution. And the final piece that I would really, really say is, you know, Dr. Passero mentioned this very early on when he talked in my biography. One of the things is cognitive behavioral work, working, you know, on the mind, the body, and the spirit. The people who were successful in our dietary program were really successful not because they were trying to gain an appearance. You know, they weren't like saying, I'm going to fit into that swimsuit, or I'm going to eat someone else's expectation of what pretty is, or handsome is, or strong is. Instead, they worked to create a sense of who the ideal you was, the ideal person inside themselves. And that's what we worked on in the groups we did as part of the program. And those groups helped people hold on to the desire and the willpower they needed to make wellness more than the simple absence of disease in their lives. You know, we just finished 66 weeks, and it was a remarkable experience being with those people as they really did gain back a lot of what they had lost.
That's great. It's important definitely to reframe the idea of why you're losing weight and to not look at these diets as short-term, but fundamental lifestyle changes that not only help you to have a healthier weight, but also reduce your risk of heart disease, reduce your risk of certain types of cancer, reduce your risk of many chronic conditions, and basically saturate your body with all of the nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and chemical signals that it needs to keep balanced hormones in a balanced state of cellular health.
And I love that you talked about using the oils. Some people are so scared of using things like nuts and coconut oils and things like that because of all the fat in them. But really, they can be done used appropriately to actually lose weight. So we are totally out of time. Thank you all so much for being with me. Please listen to the show and re-listen to it if you have other questions. And wishing you all a happy, happy new year and the best in 2013. I'll be checking in another couple weeks. This is Dr. Kevin Pissarro with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.